from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He would bring me out and show me the way. Thank God I am free, free, free.
Different things here in just a little bit. It's good to have Adeline here with us today. Adeline, it's her first visit here, first time visitor. Good to have her. And if I overlooked somebody else, I didn't mean to, but we're always thankful to have first time visitors. Good to see everybody here. They got a good crowd on Sunday morning. And man, the wind didn't blow you away yesterday, and it's cold. And I'm thankful that you're here today. And I hope it'll be a help and encouragement to you. Hope the song's already blessed your heart. And man, that's a blessing. I'm glad I got lost. I enjoyed all those songs. And I appreciate our choir. You know, that's a vital part of the ministry here of the church. It encourages our heart and it prepares us for the preaching of God's Word. And I hope today will be helping. Lord hadn't took this thought off my heart, my mind. It's a real simple thought, but I think it's something that deals with life and all of us going to face some of these issues we've been talking about the last week. And I hope it'll help you today as we're looking in Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We've done been in through these verses a couple times already. I'm not going to belabor the point. Won't go back and give you a whole lot of background and detail, but just understand as you study, basically the whole book of Ecclesiastes, specifically chapter number 9, there's two facts, two realities that we hit on last Sunday. One of them is there's a certainty of death. I mean, boy, that ain't real positive, but there's one thing you can count on. There's an appointment that we're going to keep. The Bible still said in Hebrews 9:27, as is appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment, death is a reality. And that's a fact that's found in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. But number two, the second fact that is pretty clear is this, that life is uncertain. Now, death is certain. You can count on that. And life is uncertain. You can count on those two facts that are laid out here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. And boy, I've needed every message that I've preached the last week or so out of this because it helps me. This is right down where the rubber meets the road, right where we live. There's a lot of questions in life, ain't they? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? And there's a lot of times we don't have the answer. But as we look at this, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he was the human author, he was the human pen man that penned down Ecclesiastes. Of course, we know there's a supernatural agent, which is the Holy Spirit of God that inspired him to write this down. But I believe we can gather some wisdom and some help for the days in which we live. Again, with these two realities in mind, that death is certain and life is uncertain. How in the world can I approach life? Well, he dealt with some of those things we're going to look at today. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, I'm not going to ask you to stand. Notice with me in verse number 11, I'll read two verses with the help of the Lord. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun. Now, where he makes that reference, under the sun, he's talking about life right now. If you're alive, you're breathing, you're living life under the sun. That's what he's talking about. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Now let's pray. Father, as you bow God in your presence, Lord, again today, saying thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine outside. Thank you, Lord, for the house of worship, Lord, you provided right here off of Hennings Road, East Bend, North Carolina. God, thank you for the folks that are here, Lord. I love every person that is in our auditorium today. Thank you for those who are listening by way of the Facebook and the live stream and even the telephone. God, I pray for a special blessing today. I pray that you'd open our hearts, open our eyes, open our minds to the Word of God today. If there's one amongst us that's lost, never been saved, God, may today may be the day that they realize they're lost and need Jesus. I pray that the Lamb's blood would be applied to some precious soul this very day. Lord, we know it's your will that not any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I pray that that would take place today, God, if you're so inclined. Lord, I do ask for every person that's already saved here in the building today. Pray that you'd meet needs that only you can. Help this feeble preacher, Lord, now to decrease that Jesus may be increased and lift up. Lord, I confess publicly, Lord, that I'm nothing. Lord, you are everything. Meet every need. Help me to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Going to give you thanks and praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. We've read these two verses that we've already looked at a couple of points already on. But when I think about these verses, I think about, and if I could preach basically on a statement or a thought, it'd simply be expect the unexpected. Expect the unexpected, because as you go through life, there's going to be some things that you're going to plan on, but they're not going to come to fruition. They're not going to come to pass. Something's going to happen. Something is going to alter that. And some things are beyond our control. There's some things, our human capability, Brother Danny, we're limited in what we can do. But there are superior laws that often govern the unexpected end to things in this life. And I want to deal with the expect the unexpected, because there's some things that we cannot calculate. You say, when a preacher, I've got a degree in mathematics. Well, praise the Lord. I'm thankful for it. But there's some things you can't calculate down here. There's some things you can't count on down here. There's some things that you can't anticipate. And that's what he lays out in verse number 11. Normally, the fastest runner is going to win the race. Normally, the strongest individual is going to win the battle. Most of the time, the wisest man or woman, or the woman or man that's got the greatest understanding, is going to get the best job, but that don't always happen. We think about the men of skill. They're not always going to get favor or have a great reputation. Why? There's some things that are beyond their control. There's things that are beyond our control. And you and I need to learn to expect the unexpected. I believe that's what he's laying out here. We've all heard this phrase, don't count your chickens before they hatch. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. You say, well, man, I got, and boy, if you got an egg now, you got a precious commodity. Amen. That beat anything. I thought I seen it wrong. I didn't look, and I got some here about a week or so ago. I said, how much did you say that was? It's like $6.78 for a dozen, maybe more than that, for a dozen of eggs. So if you got a dozen of eggs, man, you got something precious in your possession. But you look at those 12 eggs, let's say you got chicken, or you raise chickens, it might be a good idea to go back to old farmsteading. Amen. But you got those eggs, you say, man, I got 12 eggs there, I'm going to have 12 chicks. Well, that ain't always the case. Snake may come up. Those nest raiders such as, well, ain't got too many weasels here, but rats and raccoons and even possums may come in and may snatch some of those eggs away. And you say, well, I'm counting on 12. I got 12 eggs. I'm going to count on 12 chicks. I'm going to anticipate 12 chicks. I'm going to calculate that there's 12 eggs. I'm going to get 12 chicks. But some things are beyond our control. And the whole thought here that Solomon's trying to lay out, you and I better learn to expect the unexpected. In the last week, we dealt with those two points that you better get, because life's going to throw you curveballs, and you better learn to just chill out. Verse number one, thank God for the sovereign will of God and the hand of God. It may seem chaos and chaotic down here, but everything is decently and in order in heaven. Everything's fine from God's perspective, but sometimes our perspective gets monkeyed up when things befall us and things happen to us, circumstances come. What are we going to do? Well, you better learn to chill out and know that God's in control. But number two, you better learn to cheer up. Just to cheer up and be thankful for what God has given you. Don't get the cart in front of the horses. Don't be looking too far down the road. Listen, just thank God for the day that you have. Now, all of us make preparations. I've said this probably in every message that I've been here in Ecclesiastes chapter number 9. But a failure to plan is a plan to fail. Now, I say that to say this. It's good to plan. It's good to prepare. I believe it's wise. I believe there's great principles in the Word of God about preparations. But you may be planning to do something tomorrow, Brother Harold, that you and I may not be able to do because things are beyond our control. Think about those birds and the fishes. In verse number 12, the Bible said this, For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare. Watch this. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Is that little birds flying through the air? He don't see the net. Until suddenly and unexpectedly, Brother T.R., he's caught. That little fish that's swimming through, he's not worried about a net or a snare until he runs into it. But suddenly and unexpectedly, it hits him. He didn't plan for it. He didn't prepare for it. And the Bible said in verse number 12, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time. We may make preparations for tomorrow, and I encourage folks to do that. I encourage folks to work and to try and to do their very best and to plan and prepare. But we don't know what's going to befall us. That's why we better learn to chill out and learn to cheer up for the day that we do have, because tomorrow may not come. We think about James 4:14, which asks the question and answer, whereas you know not what shall be on their life, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away, just like a vapor that's here for a little time and then it's gone. And we see that unfolding. Last night, well, I guess it was Friday, and many of you know Juanita Key. She's 94 years old now, and her son-in-law had called, and I was in Ohio on Friday, and said Mama wants to, or his mother-in-law wanted to see me because she's getting ready to cross over and leave out here. Well, I got to see her last night when I got back, and I went up to the nursing home, and 94 years old, and man, there she is, and she could communicate just barely, and if the Lord don't intervene, I mean, she's going to leave out of here in the next day or so the way it looks right now. And I think about 94 years on planet Earth. You say, man, that's a long time. Not that much when compared to eternity. When compared to eternity, 94 years ain't long at all. Those of you got some age on you, got some years on you, it's went by in a hurry. Sure has. It's went by in a hurry. You've made plans in your life, no doubt. You've made preparations, and things have befallen you. And you maybe you counted your chickens before they hatched, and you never got all that you was anticipating, all that you was calculating, all that you was counting on. And you've learned this principle that we better learn to expect the unexpected. Sometimes things happen. I'll share this with you. I think I have at some point or the other, but years ago, I don't know why I'm thinking about this right now, but I was still in Wilkesboro working. I was still pastoring up there at the time, and I had to go to Winston. And most of you know where Allen's Dairy, how many of you know where Allen's Dairy Treats is down on Rinalda? And man, I tell you, he's always had a great cheeseburger and a great hot dog. Brother Ed, on that day, I decided I'm going to go get me two hot dogs. And I didn't get any fries because in a hurry, I got one of them big old, you know, them old styrofoam big old jumbo drinks. And I got that thing packed full of tea, and I start back up the road, and I get on, I guess it's old 421, heading up that direction back toward, because I had a place I had to go to at the edge of Yadkin. And I remember starting up, and I was in a hurry, and I don't encourage you to do this if you have time, but if you're in the service industry of any kind and you're on a limited schedule, a lot of times you have to eat and run. Well, I was eating and running that day. Brother T.R., I was going up the road, and I got that hot dog. Man, I was anticipating eating that thing so bad I couldn't wait to eat it. Well, I got up, got about one bite of it, and when I go to get the second bite, the hot dog fell out of the bun. Now, I'm driving. I can try to picture this. Something possessed, and I had that big jumbo drink sitting between my legs, and something possessed me when I dropped that hot dog to catch it with my legs. Well, if you've ever tried that with a styrofoam cup, son, that's not good. That cup, it literally exploded. It exploded so much, and it was such force, there was tea up above my head on the hood of the truck, on the roof of the truck. Now, here I am, I'm soaking wet, and I didn't get to eat the rest of the hot dog. Now, I was planning on that. I was calculating on that. I was anticipating eating that,
and getting to my next appointment on time, but now I show up, I'm soaking wet with sweet tea, I didn't get to eat my hot dogs, I was counting on some things that never came to pass. You might say, well, that's humorous, preacher, but that's the reality. We've got to learn to expect the unexpected. Because again, the swift, verse number 11, notice what it said. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Maybe on a percentage wise, maybe 95% of the time, maybe that fastest runner is going to win, but there's a 5% time that something's going to fall him. The strong is going to win the battle most of the time. The bread to the wise and riches to the men of understanding. Most time they're going to get the best jobs, but sometimes you can't calculate, you can't count on, you can't anticipate things that will come your way. And I think about this, and I look there, these nets and these snares, again, they come suddenly, and you think you got a fast, you got a swift fella. You got a strong man. You got a man of wise, that's wise, and he's got understanding. You got another fellow of skill. But when the nets and the snares come, those nets and those snares, they basically nullify the man's ability. Yeah, he's fast. Yeah, he's strong. Yeah, he's wise. Yeah, he's got understanding. Yeah, he's got skill. But when things befall him that are out of his control, you better learn to expect the unexpected. I think about this phrase in verse number 11, that last part. A lot of people may misunderstand, but it said time and chance happeneth to them all. Now, we don't believe in gambling as believers. Amen. The Bible's pretty clear about that. That's part of coveting. That's part of the Ten Commandments. Amen. Thou shalt not covet. What is gambling? That is coveting in the long sense, in the long term. We don't believe in gambling. So this chance here is not talking about gambling. But what does it mean, time and chance happeneth to them all? You know what that word chance literally means? It means an occurrence or an event. An occurrence or an event. In other words, time and events and chances are going to have, they're going to have an effect on all of us. Things are going to befall us. The same thing that I've been repeating over and over again. A lot of times we'll make this statement. I was at the right place at the right time. Or vice versa, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. And when we're in situation, when those events come, abilities have nothing to do with it. We've seen races before where the fastest runner is running and man, he's leading the pack, and then he gets a hamstring injury and he limps to the finish line and finishes dead last. There's things, there's chance, those events, those occurrences that come. And what I'm saying is this, and I believe God wants us to get it. We better learn to expect the unexpected. You might say, well, a preacher, I'm a believer, I'm born again. You're not exempt from those events, from those occurrences coming in your life. I've said this before and I'll say it again. It is still, do you know that believers still get cancer? Believers still get dementia. Believers still get Alzheimer's. Believers still have heart attacks and they have strokes and they have issues. They still lose their jobs. They have problems in life. Think about the apostle, and you think about the fastest runner there in verse 11. Here's the point. I ain't really got in my notes, but I want you to get it. That fastest runner is usually going to win. That strongest man is usually going to win the battle, the man of wisdom and understanding, the one of skill. They're going to have the reputation. They're going to have the favor. They're going to have the best jobs. And you think about all that. And if they do that, then they can say, well, hey, look at me. I was fast. Look at me. I'm strong. Look at me. I'm wise. And I got to understand. Look at me. I got all the skill. But when things befall believers, sometimes that's when we've got to tap into a greater strength from another world. When it ain't us, it ain't my speed, it ain't my strength, it ain't my wisdom, it ain't my understanding, it ain't my skill. It's God, because God can give us that grace from another world. I think about the Apostle Paul. I believe probably the greatest Christian that lived on the face of the planet. Planted tons of churches, the book of Acts. You look at the ministry, the first, second, third missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. And it was not all marshmallows and chocolate, man. There was some tough, difficult times for them as they went through. And you think about this, what the Apostle Paul said. We know he was given that thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. You know what that word buffet literally means? It means to be punched. It literally means to be punched in the face. Paul said, hey, I've been given these abundance of revelations. Paul was raised up at the feet of Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He was a Pharisee. I mean, here was a man that had all the accolades. He had in religion. I mean, he had it all. All the boxes were checked off. I mean, here was a man that was superior to all, but he was given that thorn in the flesh to punch him, to buffet him. But notice what he goes on to say. Verse number 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, in other words, three times, that it might depart from me. So he's given this thorn in the flesh. Again, many believe, and I believe this, I believe it was his eyesight. He talked to the book of the Galatian believers. He talked about how large a letter that he wrote. And I believe that when God broke him down in Acts chapter number 9 on the Damascus Road, you remember that bright light, and he was blind for several days. And until the scales came off, he was able to see. So I think he had an eyesight issue, but regardless if it was something else, he had a thorn in the flesh, something that hindered him, something that impeded his progress, and he had to tap on the Lord for strength from another world, because the Bible said he prayed three times, but God never removed it. But listen to what God said in verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So here's Paul. He's given a thorn in the flesh that made him weaker down here, but it actually made him stronger because he had to rely on God. Now that's a concept a lot of times people don't get. People don't understand. And they'll make this statement, Brother Howard, why did this happen to me? You know, I'm saved and I love God. I come to church, I read my Bible, and I do this. Why did God allow this to happen in my life? Well, there may be an area in your life where you thought you were strong. God needs to make you weak so you will rely on Him and tap into His strength. And there's grace. Oh, listen. There's grace that is sufficient. And we see that unfolding. Paul went on to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It goes against human reasoning. You say, well, man, this sickness made me weak. But you know what? Sometimes folks get stronger during that. How do you explain that? Well, these things come. Maybe you weren't counting on this. You weren't anticipating this. You weren't calculating this. But God's got a greater plan and a greater purpose than you and I could even fathom or know. And boy, sometimes it's difficult to trust the Lord in situations that come. But the best thing we can do is trust Him. But think about this with this thought in mind. Again, some things are beyond our control. We need to learn to expect the unexpected. There's three principles that I want to give you. Going to come straight from the Scripture. Three principles that we better get. Now, if I'm going to expect the unexpected, and we know that we can't control tomorrow and the next day, yes, we are to plan. Yes, we are to prepare. But sometimes things befall us, just like that fish, just like that bird. Suddenly and unexpectedly, they're caught in a snare and they're caught in that. The same thing will happen to you and I. That's why we better chill out. We better cheer up. We better enjoy the day. But there's three principles that we better get. Number one, with this thought in mind, to expect the unexpected, we better learn not to be boastful. Don't be boastful. We better learn that. A lot of people say, yeah, I'm going to do this Thursday, and I'm going to do this Tuesday, and I'm going to do this next Saturday. And listen, we've got a lot of events lined up. I mean, here again, failure to plan is a plan to fail. We've got our Easter drama coming up. We're planning on that, Lord willing. That's why I say Lord willing. Coming up right the week of Easter, that Friday night, which is April the 7th, then the 8th on Saturday, and then Easter morning, we're going to present straight from the Word of God. Nothing added, nothing taken away. They're the 3 days that changed history. We're planning on doing that. But I got enough sense to know, Brother Ed, there's things that can happen that might hinder us from doing that. We're planning on, the ladies are planning this week, not me, but the ladies are, the 19th this week, having a ladies' meeting. Now, they're planning on that, but something could happen. In a couple weeks, on the 26th, the young ladies will be meeting here at the church, and the men will be meeting over at Brother Kevin's house. But Brother Kevin, something could happen between now and then. Something could come up suddenly. unexpectedly. And that's why we better learn to expect the unexpected. And number one, don't be boastful.
Amen.
If the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that. But don't be boastful. Listen to what the Bible said in James chapter 4 and verse number 13. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. So here's a fellow that says, well, you know, I'm going to go into this city, I'm going to stay there a year, I'm going to buy, and I'm going to sell. Again, it's good to make preparations. It's good to have plans, but you got to understand, you better expect the unexpected. Because if it's not the Lord's will, you're not going to stay there a year. Amen. Look at what the Bible said in verse 14. I just quoted it to you a few minutes ago. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. We need to learn not to boast. Don't do that. Why? Because we better expect the unexpected. Make your plans. Make your plans down the road, but just understand, you got to make, and oftentimes I'll do this, somebody will call me and say, hey, preacher, you come, or I'll text, I'll say, hey, Lord willing, and that's what I mean, Lord willing, because I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. If I got plans for tomorrow, sure. Does that mean we just shrivel up and die? No, you enjoy the day that God has given to you. Sufficient is the promise for tomorrow. We'll say more about that in just a second. But what I want you to get is this. Expect the unexpected. And these principles you better get. We better not be boastful. And I've seen some folks that have made some boastful things. We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I love it when those ball players, a lot of times they'll make this statement before they play the game. We're going to run the ball up and down the field. We're going to do this, that, and the other. And man, it don't come to pass. They got to eat those words. They're boastful. Don't be boastful. Things can happen. The best team don't always win. Fastest runner don't always win. The strongest man, the wisest of those who understand, don't always get the best job. The most skillful don't have the greatest reputation or favor given unto them. Why? Things befall us, and we better expect the unexpected and learn not to be boastful. But number two, we certainly don't need to be bewildered or surprised when things come our way. When negative, what we see is negative circumstances come our way. Don't be surprised. Because here's the first thing the devil's going to tell you. God don't love you. You better stay with me. You better listen to what this preacher's saying. Well, if God loved, this is what the devil will say. Well, if God loved you, you wouldn't be going through this.
Amen.
God loved you, you wouldn't be facing what you're facing today. It's been a struggle all the way through with God's people, even Psalm 73. You remember when the psalmist said, hey, man, my eyes got on the wicked and I became envious how they prospered. And my foot had well nigh slipped, Psalm 73 said, until, back verse number 15, until I went into the sanctuary, I understood therein. But there was a time where he is listening to the devil. Well, if God really loved you, you wouldn't go through this. God wouldn't let you have cancer. God wouldn't let you have let your family deal with dementia and Alzheimer's, a stroke, and this separation has came and this problem has arisen. You've lost your job. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be facing what you're facing. But that's a lie out of hell. Because God does love you. And listen, expect the unexpected. You might be living for God today. And you say, well, and it goes back to verse number 11. The fastest runner don't always win the race. The strongest individual don't always win the battle. And the best Christian don't always have a bed of roses. Even the Lord Jesus Christ said, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. He even said, the foxes have holes. He said, I don't even have any place to lay my head. There's things that's going to come. So we got to understand, don't be boastful. Expect the unexpected. But then number two, don't be bewildered. Don't be bewildered and don't be surprised, because the Bible says this in Matthew chapter number 5. And you know this well, but I want to read it to you. Matthew 5 and verse number 45. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Good comes to lost people. Good comes to save people. Bad comes to save folk. Bad comes to lost people. It's the way life goes. You better learn to expect the unexpected. And see, there's a false philosophy today. especially the televangelist preachers today. I hate to say, but it just is what it is. They say, well, you just come to Christ, all your problems go away. Are you kidding? Some of your problems really just begin. You look at the Word of God, and you look at the examples in the Bible of some of God's choice servants and some of the battles and some of the circumstances that they faced in life. Didn't mean that God didn't love them, but God had a different plan and a different purpose and a different program for their life than what they thought that they were getting. And God's plan and His purpose is always better. Listen to me now. If you don't get nothing else, get this. God's plan and purpose is always better than what we design. Amen. Sometimes there's pitfalls along the way. Sometimes there's holes that we may fall into, but God's plan is always better. And just understand, expect the unexpected. You may be sailing along, going great. And you know what? And this is key too. Part of this is part of spiritual maturity. It's one thing to praise God when you're up on the mountaintop. It's quite another thing to praise God when you're down there in the valley. When it seems like the world's caving in on you. Any of you ever been there? Where it just feel like, man, I'm getting hit with a blow from the left side and the right side. And sometimes the old saying, when it rains, it pours, that's really true. Sometimes things come and it seems insurmountable. But listen, thank God you and I as believers, we can still praise God in the low spots the same as we can. And I believe we ought to praise God at all times. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what God says. We're to praise God at all times. But just understand, when things happen to us, expect the unexpected. Don't be boastful because you can't. There's some things that are beyond our control. But number two, don't be bewildered and surprised when something pops up that you didn't count on, you didn't calculate, and you didn't anticipate, because it's coming. You live long enough, honey, you mark her down. It is coming. What Job said, Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Last time I checked, that covered us all. Amen. Man that is born of a woman, few days and full of trouble. These three things we better not, don't be boastful. Number two, don't be bewildered and surprised, but don't be bothered. Don't be bothered and don't be discouraged by circumstances we may face. You say, preacher, I really wouldn't count. We made this day. Man, I wasn't counting on this. I wasn't anticipating this, but it happened. But don't be bothered and don't be discouraged by it. Why? Again, because God has got a greater plan and a greater purpose. I think about Joshua. It's been, we've had this probably a couple times since I've been here at Faith and Vacation Bible School. One of our verses, which is Joshua 1:9. And it simply says this, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now God knew that God had picked Joshua to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Now what a chore and what a burden, Brother Danny, that was laid upon him. And God knew that Joshua would face some circumstances. He knew that Joshua would probably sit back and he would make a calculation. He'd start counting on some things and anticipating some things happening, and then problems would arise. Think about Achan. Man, they went in. That first battle that they got was at Jericho. Ai, they thought, man, Ai, this ain't going to be no problem at all. And they got their tails kicked. Joshua wasn't counting on that. He wasn't calculating that. He wasn't anticipating that. And that's exactly how it happens to us. That's why God said, hey, be strong. And have a good courage. Be not dismayed. Don't be discouraged is basically what he's saying. Don't let it bother you. God's telling Joshua, man, I got it. I got it in my head. Some of you may be diagnosed with some kind of disease. Don't worry. Listen, God has got you. Say, when I preach, that's easier for you to say. And I get it. It's a whole lot different when you got to put those shoes on your feet. But the same Lord that was the same Lord yesterday is Lord today. He'll be Lord tomorrow. He'll be Lord next week. Regardless of what I face, regardless of what you face, some things are beyond our control, but don't be bothered by it. Don't be discouraged by it. Think about this, Matthew 6. Jesus said this, and I'm about done. Matthew 6 and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now watch this in verse 26 of Matthew 6. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? If you ever get discouraged, if you ever get bothered when you think, man, the walls are closed in on me. Man, I got problems that's piling up on me. I don't just take a look up in the trees. Just take a look up in the sky. If you look long enough, you'll see a bird. There'll be a bird that comes by. Those birds don't go out and they don't plant in a garden. Those birds don't go out and they don't reap the fields. Those birds don't build little storehouses where they can store up all that. But yet, God gives them their daily portion every day. And then he said that in verse number 26. Are ye not much better than they? I mean, a bird doesn't have a soul. But you and I do. We were made in the image of Almighty God. And he does care for us. And he does love for us. And my point is this. If he takes care of the birds, he's going to take care of you. Well, preacher, I wasn't counting on this. I wasn't calculating this. I wasn't anticipating this happening in my life. Well, listen, don't let it bother you. Don't let it discourage you. God's got it. He's in control. If he takes care of the birds, friend, he's going to take care of you. Bible said in verse 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, some of us would like to be a little bit taller, but it don't work like that. I read the other day that they're performing some surgery that to link, they break your legs. And they put some kind of bar in there, Brother Jason. And they get you about six more, they'll get you 6 inches taller by breaking both of your legs and putting in a metal rod and laying flat for several months. Now, who wants to sign up for that? No, thank you. Amen. None of us can, by taking thought, add one cubit. I mean, you can't go, well, all right, Lord, I want to be 6'6". Boom, presto. That don't work like that. We can't do it. It's not within our power. But I'm telling you, God can turn things around. Verse 28, and why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. You can go out west, and especially some of the prairie lands, and that doesn't get tended. That doesn't get farmed. They don't cast out seed. But those plants come up. Those lilies, they pop up, and God's the one that feeds him. It's his sunshine. It's his rain. It's his nutrients that he provides for those lilies. So you think about the lilies, and you think about the birds. God looks after them, and he'll look after us as well. But then he said, I love this, verse 31 of Matthew 6, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Preacher, what's that got to do with Ecclesiastes chapter number 9? Listen, there's things that's going to come our way. You can't count on them. You can't calculate them. You can't anticipate them. Well, surely that swiftest runner is going to win the race. Not always. Surely that strongest man is going to win the battle. Surely the wisest and the man of understanding is going to get the best job. He's going to have bread. He's going to have riches. Surely that man of skill, he's going to succeed. He's going to have a great reputation. That's not always the case. Because just as that little bird, just as that little fish gets caught in the snare and gets caught in the net, so is man. There's things that are beyond our control. God sent me by to remind somebody. It may have just been for me because I needed this message. I need it bad to expect the unexpected. I mean, there's things you don't plan on. There's things you can't count on. Things you can't calculate. Things you can't anticipate. But I'll tell you this, there are some things you can count on as Sister Savannah comes. You can count on today that God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8 said, but God committed his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You can count on that God loves you. You can count on you that God wants you to be saved. 2 Peter said, it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You can count on that you can be forgiven if you'll call on the name of the Lord. The Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Say, preacher, you don't know what I've done. Don't matter what you've done. You can count on the grace of God. You can count on the mercy of God. You can count on the favor of God that he'll shine his favor toward that individual that'll realize that, yeah, man, I'm lost and I need Jesus. And you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, he's got 100% a success rate when lost people come, bent, broken, bankrupt, bothered, they come to Christ with all that baggage. Thank God Jesus washes all that sin away. You can count on that, friend. There's a lot of things in life you can't count on. You can't count on tomorrow. You can't count on next week. You can't count because you're swift and you're strong and you're wise and you're understanding. You got skill. You don't know what's going to happen because there's things that are beyond your control. But God sent me by to remind somebody we better not be boastful. We better not be bewildered or surprised when things do come our way. And we better not be bothered or discouraged because God sometimes has got a greater plan. He's got a greater purpose. Things seem out of control in your life. Man, maybe you need to bring it to the Lord. Maybe you need to come to Him. And listen, don't live a defeated life. Don't live a discouraged life. Enjoy the day that God has given you. If you need to be saved, today is the day of salvation. If you need strength from another world, maybe it feels like the walls closing in on you. I'm here to tell you, God still loves you. God cares about you. He's feeding, He's taking care of the birds. He's taking care of the lilies. Friend, He ain't going to let you down now. He ain't going to fail. He ain't never failed you, and He ain't going to start today. As we stand all over the house, let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity to stand one more time and present the truth of Your Word. God, I pray that You'd help me this area of life when situations and circumstances come our way beyond our understanding. God, beyond our control, Lord, would You help us, Lord, to trust You more. I pray that we wouldn't be boastful. I pray that we wouldn't be bewildered and surprised. Lord, when things do come our way, God, help us today, Lord, to stay focused on You. I pray for that individual that is struggling today. I pray for that sinner that needs to be saved. I pray that today would be the hour they'd come to Christ, do what's needed and necessary. We'll give You thanks and give You praise for what You do. We ask these things in Jesus' name.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat-and-meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation. They prepare for retirement. They seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday. For the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words, good works, and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16 and verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. And I say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, and if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, "There is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.